We're living in a time where everybody is struggling for their lives. They're stressed. They're depressed. But with the power invested in me, I came to speak life over you. I speak blessings of health, blessings of peace. To my brothers and sisters all around the world, especially those in South Africa, struggling with AIDS. Brazil, the States.
I speak life, you're gonna live. Oh, my brother, my sister, I speak life, you are the head and not the tail. You will prevail. I speak life. Don't
lose another person to a senseless death. Substance abuse, gang violence, suicide because of low self-esteem. The power of life and death is in the tongue. Speak life over yourself and those you love.
Help me sing.
Don't give up the fight for. to life. Amen. Hallelujah. You shall live and not die. Amen. Hallelujah. We're the time and the season where we must be speaking life. We must be speaking life. Amen. Hallelujah. The country, America, is mourning, and I just want to begin to pray on today, even as we open the broadcast. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, and I welcome you to the Woman to Woman to Man show. And we want to open with prayer. Let us pray. Hallelujah. Father God, we praise your holy name. Lord, we worship you and we magnify your name on today. Oh God, you are worthy to be praised. There is none like you, Lord. And we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise just because of who you are. Lord, you are awesome. You're magnificent. You are a mighty God. You are all in all. Everything that we are and everything that we have, everything that we do, Lord, depends upon you, oh God. And we just thank you and we praise you on today. Hallelujah. You alone are worthy to be praised, oh God. No matter what's going on in the world, God, yet will we praise you, yet will we give you the glory, the honor, and the praise because you are worthy. We love you on today, God. We love you and we bless your name, Lord. We continue to speak your word, oh God. You know the plans that you have for us, plans to prosper us and not to harm us, plans to give us a hope and a future, oh God. So, Lord, we stand on your word on today, God, declare and decreeing that no weapon formed against us can prosper, oh God. Hallelujah, Lord. We just thank you and we praise you. Hallelujah. Oh, God, we just thank you, Father God, even Father God, for this day, oh God. This is the day that you have made, and we shall rejoice and be glad in it, oh God. Lord, we pray for those, Father God, who were, Father God, victims on yesterday of the tragedy, Father God, up in Connecticut. Lord, we lift up every family, oh God, of those, Father God, children, those precious babies that were murdered on yesterday, God. Lord, we just know, Father God, that even though the devil is wrecking havoc in the earth, we know that you are in control, God. So, Lord, we just ask that you comfort those, Father God, who are mourning, who are grieving, those immediate families of those precious children, oh God, that you will comfort them, that you will comfort their classmates, that you will comfort the staff, the teachers and the staff at that school, oh God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, that you would even comfort the nation. The nation is grieving. Lord, you said in your word, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, repent, turn from their wicked ways, and pray, then I will hear from heaven. And I will heal their nation. I will heal the land. Lord, we need you to heal the land on today. In the name of Jesus, Lord, we're praying for you to heal the land, oh God. Lord, we repent on the behalf of America, oh God. In the name of Jesus, but you, we, your people, the church, we repent on today, God. Hallelujah. We repent, God, Father God, from turning our backs on you. We repent, oh God, from not being serious about the things pertaining to the kingdom. We repent, God, for the sin in the pulpit and the sin in the pews, oh God. We repent, oh God, for upholding the sins, Father God, of the land, oh God, in the name of Jesus. We repent for turning a blind eye, oh God, from those things that grieve your spirit. We repent, Father God, for walking in a spirit of compromise, oh God. We repent, oh Lord, from backbiting and backsliding, oh God. Oh Lord, we repent on today and we say, have mercy, God. Have mercy on America. We repent, Lord, for taking prayer out of the schools, oh God. We repent, Lord, for approving of abortion, oh God. We repent, God, hallelujah, for lining up with same-sex marriage, oh God. We repent, oh God, oh Lord, forgive us for our trespasses. Forgive us for our sins on today. Forgive us of our inequities, oh God. Forgive us, oh Lord, because against you only, oh Lord, have we sinned, oh God. Forgive us on today, God. We need your hand to begin to touch the dead things in this nation. Begin to touch our dead churches. Begin to touch our dead dreams and our dead visions, oh God. Begin to touch our dead hopes on today, God. Hallelujah. Touch everybody who's depressed on today, God. touch those who are walking under a spirit of discouragement on today, God. We bind up Satan right now in the name of Jesus. We declare, Satan, that you have no dominion on this earth, that God has given the earth to his people. So we, the people of the kingdom of the Most High God, take our rightful places on today, God. We take our rightful places and we stand up and we be counted as the sons and daughters of God. You said in your word, Father, that the whole earth is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons and daughters of God. So, Lord, we stand up as the sons and daughters on today. We stand up and we say, God, forgive us. Forgive us first and foremost, oh God, of growing lukewarm in our walk with you. You said you would rather be hot or cold, but not lukewarm, because you said you would spew and spit us out of your mouth, oh God. Lord, we don't want to be spewed out of the kingdom, Lord. Hallelujah. Let David pray, Father, God, please don't take your Holy Spirit from us, oh God. Hallelujah. We need the power of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Ruling and reigning in this land. Ruling and reigning in our country. Ruling and reigning in America. Ruling and reigning in our homes. Ruling and reigning in our churches and our families, oh God. In the name of Jesus, ruling and reigning in our ministries. We need the power of the Holy Ghost ruling and reigning in our businesses, oh God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, take your Holy Spirit from us, your people who are called by your name, oh God. Hallelujah. Lord, renew a right spirit in us. Hallelujah. A spirit of worship, a spirit of praise, a spirit of humility, a spirit of gentleness, a spirit of kindness, a spirit of love, oh God, a spirit of long-suffering, a spirit of patience, a spirit of temperance called self-control, oh God. Lord, we lost control. We have lost control even of our own selves. And God, help us. Help us. Have mercy, God. Have mercy on us. Have mercy on us, your people, oh God. Hallelujah. Let us be world changers. Let us be world changers. You have called us to manifest change, to make a difference in this world, to make a difference on this earth realm, to make a difference, oh God. Let us not be so concerned about who's listening or who's following us or who is applauding us. But Lord, let us be concerned about the kingdom mandate to go forth and evangelize, to make disciples of all nations. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you today. We worship you today. We praise you today. Even in the middle of tragedy, we praise you. We magnify your name. We glorify your name. Lord, meet every need. Oh, God, meet every need. God, meet every need of your people. Lord, you know what your people are standing in the need of, and we ask that you meet every need, God. Touch every broken heart on today, Lord. So many are talking about being brokenhearted on today. God, help us to mind, to be careful and be mindful of the confessions of our lips in the middle of tragedy, in the middle of turmoil, in the middle of conflict, in the middle of trouble. Satan would want us to line up our words with what he is manifesting. But God, help us to line up our language, line up our words with what you have said. You said, God, that we are the top and not the bottom. You said we are above and never beneath. You said, oh God, that we are the lender and not the borrower. You said in your word that no weapon formed against us can prosper. You said in your word that you have a great plan for us, plans to prosper us and not to harm us, plans to give us a hope in the future. Lord, you said in your word that we should not let our hearts be troubled, but Lord, to have faith in you, to trust in Jesus, to trust in you. Hallelujah. You said in your word that in this world we will have tribulation, but we should take heart. We should be joyful. We should, Father God, rejoice because you have overcome this world. Hallelujah. You said that there was no weapon formed against us that could prosper, oh God, that we should silence every wagging tongue. You said in your word, oh God, hallelujah, that by your stripes we are healed and that we are saved as we believe in our heart and confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, that we shall be saved. Hallelujah. So, Lord, we make that confession on today, knowing that salvation is not just us going to heaven, but we are saved. We are saved from the power of sin. We are saved from the power of sickness. We are saved from the power of Satan, and we are saved from the power of death. Oh, death, where is your sting? Oh, grave, where is your power? We know that death and the grave have no power in the lives of a Christian, in the lives of your people, in the lives of your children. You said in your word, hallelujah, that Jesus took over and annihilated the power of Satan when he hung on the cross. So we are not afraid of death, and we are not afraid of Satan, and we're not afraid of trouble. Hallelujah. You said trouble in your word, that after we have been tested, after we have gone through for a little while, after we have been shaken, after we have been, my God, after we have gone through, you said, Lord, in your word, that you would come and you would perfect us and you would establish us. And, Lord, hallelujah, we just thank you, Lord, that you never put on us, you never put on us, God, any more than we could handle. But just when we thought we had enough, God, you have provided a way out. So we thank you for the way out, and we bind up Satan right now off of the lives of the people of God. We bind up Satan right now, and we declare right now dominion of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus, I plead the blood over every life under the sound of my voice. I declare that no weapon formed against you shall prosper. I declare right now that every knee is met. I declare, hallelujah, that 1,000 may fall at your right side and 10,000 at your left, but it will not come near you. Hallelujah. In the name of Jesus, I declare courage. I declare boldness in the power, the dunamis, and the exousia, the authority of God that has been given to you when you first believed. I stir up the power of the Holy Ghost on the inside of you. Hallelujah. And I take away the garment. I take away the garment of mourning, and I give you a garment of praise. Right now, by the power invested in me by the Holy Ghost, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just thank you, and we ask that you continue to comfort all who mourn on today, because you said in your word that we should mourn with those who mourn and rejoice with those who rejoice. So we ask that you will comfort all of those who are hurting on today. And God, we give this prayer to you. Even as we go forth and with this broadcast, we give this prayer to you. Help those who are hurting on today, God. Encourage those who are discouraged. Hallelujah. My God, help those who are grieving to even yet rejoice, knowing that you hold our future in your hands. And it's in the precious name of Jesus Christ that we pray this prayer. Amen. Amen. And amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yet will I praise him. Yet will I give him the glory. Yet will I give him the honor. Yet will I give him the praise. Hallelujah. Because he is faithful. God is faithful, saints. He is faithful. God will never leave you, nor will he ever forsake you. He's always with you. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you something right now. If you are a believer, death has no power in your life, because God promised us eternal life with Jesus. And if you're a believer, that means that you believe that. And if you believe that, then you have no fear of death, because God has not given you a spirit of fear, but he's given you a spirit of love, power, and a sound mind. You got to hear me on today. Listen to me right now. Yeah, tragedy is happening all around the land, but guess what? That's because Satan is running rampant in this land. The Bible tells us that he goes about like a roaring lion, seeing whom he may devour. But let me tell you, you are not one that he is going to devour. I speak that. I speak life. I speak life over you right now in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Let not your heart be troubled. Listen, trust in God. Trust in Jesus. Hallelujah. Trust in the power of the blood. The blood will never lose its power. The blood will never lose its power. Let me tell you, there is power in the blood. In the blood of Jesus, there is power. Your children are blessed. Your seed is blessed. Hallelujah. I want to encourage you to get your children to get them to a position where they develop their own personal relationship with God. Make sure your children are saved, saints. you know, people will say, well, all children go to heaven. Well, I hope so. I hope so. Hallelujah. Because the Bible says, suffer not the little children to come unto me. I believe that there's a period of grace when we're children before we get to a point where we know Jesus in the pardon of our sins, when we know Jesus for our soul salvation. I believe that there's a time of grace. You know, babies, I believe, go to heaven, whether they're aborted or whether they die at birth. I believe those little lambs that were slaughtered on yesterday, I believe that they are in heaven. But there is a point, saint, where you must begin to train up your child in the way of the Lord. You got to train up your child. You have to train up your child. Listen, if you get your child into the church early, they will not be so prone to depart from the Lord when they are older. Listen, when children go to college, that's the first thing that the world tries to do is strip your child of his or her faith. You have to instill faith in Jesus. You have to instill a love for Jesus into the heart of your child at an early age. Listen, do not let your child grow up and perish and fall away from the things of God because you failed to take your child to church. I want to encourage you, take your child to church. Take your children to church. Take your children to church. Take your children to church. Yeah, I'm like John the Baptist today, crying out in the wilderness. Listen, listen, take your children to church. Let your children learn about Jesus at an early age. They may not understand it. They might sleep in church. They might not have children's church at your church. But I'm telling you, put your child up under the word, because as the snow and rain come down from the heaven and water the earth so that it brings forth its fruit in due season, hallelujah, to provide, my God, for those who will partake of it, so is God's word. God's word, when it falls on the ground, on the fertile soil of the heart, of the lives of those assembled in the house of God, God's word will not come back to him void, but it will prosper that to which he has sent it. Listen, God's word won't come back void. You go to church and you take your children to church. There is an, I'm crying out. It's of utmost importance, hallelujah, that you establish your child in the things of God. Amen, hallelujah. Listen, I'm going to take some calls. This is Pastor Rebecca Simmons, hallelujah, and we welcome you. I thank God for all of you who have called in. We just prayed for the nation, amen, and I just exhorted you. I beg and plead with you not only to take your children to church, but for you to know Jesus for yourself. Listen, you got to know Jesus for yourself. Listen, it's no more about you being blessed about, we got to get back to basics. It's not more just about you being blessed about you having a car or a house or you being blessed and having money. It's about, are you going to heaven? Is your soul secure? Is your salvation secured? Amen. Is your eternity secure? Do you have a one-way ticket to heaven? Amen. Hallelujah. Well, let's take some calls. 646-652-4832. I'm mourning, but you know what? There is a joy. I'm mourning with those who mourn. But I want you to watch your confession. Your heart is not broken. See, don't begin to confess that mess over your life. I know people mean well. People don't realize. When you say your heart is broken, you're calling all kinds of stuff against your heart. You're calling a heart, you know, you might be calling a heart attack on yourself. You might be calling a heart disease on yourself. Your heart is fine. It's just grieving. Amen. Hallelujah. Watch your mouth during this time. What the devil wants us to do is look at our circumstances and begin to declare and decree all kinds of nonsense over our own lives. Yes, we're hurting. Yes, we're grieving with those who are grieving. Yes, we're sad, saddened by the things that are happening in our nation. Yes, we are. But don't begin to call sickness on yourself, saint of the Most High God. You are prospering and being in good health, even as your soul prospers. There's nothing broken on you. Everything's whole. Everything's solid. Everything's in one piece. You have the joy of the Lord, and the joy of the Lord is your strength. Do you hear me? You need to hear me on today. Yes, yes, emotions are real. Hallelujah. But don't open your mouth and say something that's contrary to the word of God pertaining to your life and pertaining to your children. And when they, and don't start saying they're shooting down our children in the schools. No, no, no. They are shooting children in the school, and that is a sad thing. But I declare and decree that our children are not being shot down. Amen. My child is safe. You better declare and decree that thing over your child. They are not shooting in my child's school. I declare and decree it in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Do you hear what I'm saying on today? Hallelujah. Listen, listen. Our words have power. When you speak words out of your mouth, you are prophesying to your own life circumstances. Hallelujah. You can make or break what's going on in your life by the very words that you speak out of your mouth. Train yourself to speak God's word over your life. Amen. Let's take some calls. Amen. If you want to be on the air, you can just press 1, or you can call 646-652-4832, and I'll put you on the air so you can we can let your voice be heard. Area code 613, you're on the air. God bless you.
And God bless you. How are you today?
Amen. I'm blessed and highly favored. Amen. Welcome, and thank you for calling in. Who am I speaking with?
This is Jay Christie speaking. I just wanted to give words of encouragement for those who were affected by the tragedy that happened.
Yeah.
You know, there is a God, and we don't know where those children were with God at the time. We just can hope and pray that those little souls are being taken care of by God.
Yeah.
And we got to remember, though, that we are partakers of the blessing of Abraham. Those who are with the family of God, those who are God's children, are partakers of that covenant, that blessing, through the shed blood of Jesus Christ. And
yes,
through him, we are reborn into the light. But it's not by our works, but it's by God's grace. So his love for us is like no other love, but the glory and the power is transported onto and into us as well. That's his promise. That's part of the covenant that we have with God. So we've got to remember that when we're with him, we don't have to worry. We have a one-way ticket to heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And
wow.
So that's the covenant he has made. That same covenant that he made with Abraham, he gives us today. And it's the same because he is the same yesterday, today, tomorrow, and forever. It's our belief and our faith in God that activates this blessing in our lives today. But here are the keys. We do need the belief, we need the faith, and we need the knowledge of the word and the obedience of the word. We have to follow God's instruction in order for the blessing to be activated in our lives. If we don't have those together, then the blessing will not be activated. We must have the knowledge and we must have the belief in the word to activate the power that is within us. And it's within all of us. A lot of Christians don't believe that today, but it's the truth. It's in all of us.
Yes,
as
wow.
Mm-hmm. Children of God, we've got to come together, children of God, and we have to realize through the knowledge of the word what we have in God, and we have it here on earth as well as for eternity.
Yes. And I tell you, I just feel the love of God flowing from you, and I just thank God for you and for you calling in to encourage the people and to just reiterate the fact that we are the seed of Abraham, and that we, through the blood of Jesus Christ, have inherited the blessings of Abraham. I just thank God for you calling in and just reinforcing that and just even giving us some keys, you know, to know the promises, to believe the promise, and to continue to have faith and walk out this faith walk and not to grow weary. Can you just help us out? What can we do? There's so much day going on in the land, you know, not just the school shooting in Connecticut. We know we've been having different shootings since Columbine, but there have been shootings in the mall and the movie theaters and even in the church. What can we do as the people of God to make a difference in this nation?
Well, I think the first thing we have to do is pray. Get in our prayer closets and pray to God about the situation. This is becoming an epidemic. It's becoming while we're living in the end times, we are so near to the end times now. They have already begun, and this is just one symptom of the end times that we're living in, where people are going to just out of nowhere come out and do these horrific things. And so we've got to be prepared spiritually for this kind of thing. And I think that, yes, we have to have our children be prepared as well, and teach them the Word of God, and give them a godly existence, and continue to live in God's Word, and teach our children the same thing. Because it says in the Word, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. We
yes.
need the knowledge. We have to open the Word, and we have to pray to God to, when we're not just to open the Bible and read it, which is a start, but also have the Holy Spirit reveal what the words mean and give us insight into what God wants for our lives.
Yes.
And, the Holy Spirit also will direct our lives. If there's danger like that ahead of us, the Holy Spirit, if we're connected to that Spirit, that still small voice in our hearts, and it is God's voice, God will tell us, don't turn to the right, turn to the left, don't go there, go here. And we've got to learn to hear His voice and know it's His voice, and then we have to be obedient to that voice.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's all there for us in the Word, and that's His knowledge, and He's imparting that knowledge to us, His children. So we can learn from that knowledge, and we have the power of the Holy Ghost within us that we can activate that power for our lives and for others around us. We have to activate it with our mouth, but we need the faith and the belief in that Word and speaking it out to activate it in our natural. That is actually what's going to make our natural supernatural, with God's
mm-hmm.
supernatural power flowing through
wow.
us.
Yeah,
yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
So it's
yes.
the study of the Word, the knowledge of God, for knowledge brings forth power. And God's power is what we're all expecting to obtain once we become born again. It's part of the covenant that God brings to us. So it's the blessing of Abraham. It's also called the Eden blessing, because what Adam lost in the garden, Jesus Christ gave back to us through His blood covenant.
Go
praise
ahead.
God.
You're preaching now, sir. I know you are a preacher. I know you are a preacher.
Well,
know.
I'll
you,
tell you, I'd like
me.
To be.
You didn't have to tell me, but I know that you are a preacher because you're preaching now. That same blessing that was given away to the devil in the garden, God is giving it, has given it back to us. Oh, wow. Go ahead. I want you to go ahead and finish that thought that you were expressing.
Well, that's the thing, that a lot of people think, oh, the devil lied when he went to Jesus and tempted Jesus. And he said to Jesus, you know, worship me and all this will be yours. And the devil was showing Jesus all of the kingdoms of the earth. And people say, well, the devil's a liar. The devil wasn't lying. He actually did own those kingdoms, because Adam gave him the kingdoms, you know, when he gave it away to the devil. So the devil did have access to those. But thank God Jesus had the smarts to say, no, you know, I'm not going to be tempted by that, because everything comes from the Father. So Jesus actually went to the cross so He could gain back all of that and give it back to us. The devil can't touch us. The devil cannot touch. Now, he'll try through the physical realm of the earth, through other people and circumstances, but spiritually, he can't touch us. He has no right to touch us spiritually because we're covered by the grace of God and the power of God.
Yes, sir. Amen. Mm-hmm. Well, that is so powerful, and it's a reminder to all of us, because some people, I even heard a pastor say on television, I think, that fear tried to grip him as he was watching the news. And one thing that we have to learn to do, even as we're going through and watching what's going on in the world, is not to become so focused on the circumstances of this world, you know, and because the Bible tells us to keep our minds stayed on Jesus, you know, keep our eyes fixed on him. He's the author and finisher of our faith. And as and I believe that as we begin to, and then he tells us in Philippians what to think on, you know, what some of the things are good, you know, prayer, praiseworthy of a good report, you know, think on these things. So when we begin to focus on the negatives that are happening around us, now we're not to be oblivious, but not to give so much thought to it as we begin to get pulled in to the emotion of the circumstance, because our faith is not based on our emotions, but it's based on our beliefs, what we believe in our heart, and the word of God. What we is based on the word. Our faith is based on the word of God, and we have to constantly be reminded that although our circumstances are saying one thing, God's word says another thing, and that's where his word will never pass away. That's where we have to base our faith. That's right.
And also, with the power of the Holy Spirit that is within us as children of God, we can also speak into his existence that which is not there at that time. So if you know that your circumstances aren't right and you want them to be right, you start speaking them into existence, and they will turn around with the power of God. Now, if we look at Galatians chapter 3 there, starting at verse 1, that talks about the faith that we need, because the faith activates the blessing. And along with that blessing, we're sanctified, we're redeemed from the curse of the law. We can also find that in Romans chapter 8. And if you want to write that kind of stuff down, you can, you know, for further reference. The law of the spirit of life has redeemed us from the spirit of death. So we're no longer under that curse of the devil. He's under our feet, as I mentioned before. He can't touch our spirituality. He can only attack us through the physical realm, which he tries to do every day of our life. You know, we come across adversity through other people and things and circumstances are happening. But we know, because we have the power of God within us, we can defeat all that. And just the other day, I can tell you something that happened to me. I went into a restaurant, and I went downtown simply to get some cat food. And I thought, well, I'll go and have breakfast, you know. And I usually go into this little diner, and I went in there, and I sat down. And but what they had done, they changed their menu, and their prices had gone up. And I only had enough money to have the breakfast that I was going to have at their old price, plus get some cat food. So when I realized their prices had gone up, I said, the waitress is standing there waiting, and I said, well, I said, I see you've changed your menu. And she said, yes, it's all new. And I said, well, I was going to have breakfast, but I can see, you know, with your new prices, I just can't, I'm a couple of dollars short, so I'll just have a coffee. Now, that seems normal enough, but when she went away from me, she made a comment to the cook. She said, boy, that guy must be a real loser. You know, and before I knew the Lord, she'd have said that, you know, and I didn't know the Lord, I would have exploded. I would have been angry. But because of the Lord in me, I heard it, and sure, it did upset me, but I remembered God in me, and I just thought, I'm just going to let that pass, you know, because that might be her interpretation of the situation, but I know who I am in Christ Jesus.
Yeah,
and I ain't no loser. So
God,
praise the Lord.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Yeah. That's a powerful testimony. That is a powerful testimony. And you said something too earlier. You said that every day, and caller, I see you, caller 501, I see your hand, I'm going to put you in the air. But you said that every day the devil is attacking us, looking for ways to attack us. And that's something that we, although we don't have to be consumed with it, we do have to be aware of the fact that spiritual warfare is a very real part of our walk as Christians. You know, and that's what caught me that the world seems to be caught off guard by everything that's going on in the world, but the Christians should not be caught off guard, because we know that the Satan is at war against the children of God. And even in the book of Revelation, it talks about that. But it says that him and the devil and his angels fought against the woman and her children, but they could not prevail against them. And we have to know that even in the end, and I might have gotten that a little off because I haven't read it in a while, but even in the end, we know that we win. We know that we win. The end of the book is that death has no power. Even if we die, you know, and I think that's the thing that we really have to see. What's the worst thing that could happen in the life of a believer? What's the worst thing that could happen? Even if we die, even if we take even if somebody does something and, you know, there's a mall shooting and a Christian takes a bullet, it's not the end. It's not over. It's just the beginning of the rest of your life, the first day of the rest of your life, you know, in eternity. So we have to be assured to the fact that fear is not even in the equation, should not even be in the equation of the life of a believer, that we don't have to be afraid. We don't have to be afraid. But at the same token, I'm very concerned about the souls that are perishing. You know, we have it. We are okay. But there are so many, Jay, that are perishing. What can we do? That is the last thing I'm going to ask you. I would love to talk to you all day. I'm so glad you called. But what can we do to save our souls?
Yeah, I think, again, it takes knowledge of the word. It takes that knowledge and that faith and the wanting to know God. You know, there's so many of us out there, and I was one of them years ago too, that I know now that God's always been there, but I didn't know he was there through most of my life. And when I finally did find him, you know, I realized what he had done for me throughout my life since day one. And I just started, I had a hunger for knowing more and wanting to know God more in a deeper way. And God talks to me, you know, through dreams and everything. And it's a growing relationship, and it grows every single day, and it grows. And this media that we're on now, the computer and blog talk radio, this is a fabulous media for getting together with Christians and like-minded people such as ourselves, so we can discuss the word and grow from each other. You know, this is a powerful, powerful media. And I just thank God for you being on here. And you never know. I think I might try and do a show myself at some point.
Well, if you don't have a show, because I was just thinking, I was like, this guy must have a show. he must have a show. If you don't have a show, yes, and that's definitely the Lord. If you feel a slight pulling, tugging on your heartstrings to get out here and do what we're doing. We're here every Saturday for 2 hours, and we're here on Tuesday night, 1 hour for prayer, and Wednesday at noon Eastern Standard Time, and we're preaching the gospel, doing a 1 hour worship service, trying to go forth and evangelize and make disciples and just encourage people in the faith. And I believe that your voice is needed out here. I know that with a certainty, and I know quite a few of my listeners will agree that your voice is needed, because you have blessed us today, Jay.
Well, thank you so much. I appreciate that very much.
And
I just
now, go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, other than encouraging others in the Lord, what else are you doing for the Lord? Are you in ministry now?
I am in a very small way. I've actually been writing some sermons, which I do get a chance to speak at certain venues. And I actually worked in radio, in Christian radio. But at that point, I was more of a top 40 kind of jock personality. I wasn't really diving into the word, you know. But after leaving that venue, I started to dive into the word more. And then the Lord got me to start writing sermons. And that's what I've been doing lately. And that's why I thought about Blog Talk Radio. What a great venue to preach, you know, and
Amen.
Get the word out.
Amen. Yeah. Amen, brother. Well, when you do it, just make sure you come back and let us know. And then even before that, please come back again and visit with us and let your voice be heard. This platform is open for you anytime you want to come on over. And even as a matter of fact, we do the noonday services on Wednesdays. And if you want to come over there and preach one of your sermons, just send me an email or a Facebook message and we'll get you on.
All right. That sounds wonderful. Well,
Amen.
Thank you so much.
God bless you, brother. God bless you.
And God bless you, and thank you so much. And to all the listeners out there, I just want God's blessing to be rained upon you. And remember to open up your Bibles, pray to the Lord to show you something out of the Bible that will change your life, and God will do that. And just thank you so much for your time.
Amen. Well, hope you stay with us and continue to listen. And we look forward to hearing from you. I look forward to hearing from you, Jay. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you so much.
Amen. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Canada, actually. I live in a small town called Madoc, Ontario, which is about a 2.5-hour drive to Toronto, which is the big city. And on the other direction, it's about a 2.5-hour drive to our capital, which is Ottawa.
Okay. Wow.
So I'm right smack in the middle there.
That's prophetic. You are right smack in the middle. You're in the middle of a time of transition. You know, even as you were speaking, I just see the Lord expanding your borders, expanding your territory. You know, mm-hmm. and there's some great things that the Lord has planned for you. I just see you being a change agent, and God's going to use you to effect change in that region. You're one of His secret weapons, and He's been grooming you. I just see that the Lord's been grooming you and preparing you for such a time as this. You know, a lot of times we like to think about Esther pertaining to women, but, you know, I just see you being prepared like Esther. Because there's a sweet smelling aroma coming forth from your loins, and there's the love of God is oozing from your pores, and God is love, and you're just so full with Him that He's going to allow you to pour out as He's poured into you. He's going to allow you to pour out into the lives of many, and the many will come to Christ as a result of what's going to come forth from your heart, which is the heart of God. So I just see great, great things to the glory of God, amen, coming forth in your life, brother. And I just got excited.
Yes, I am too. Praise God. Thank you so much. Yeah,
amen.
We'll continue to, just keep walking with the Lord. And I just continue to saturate more information about God continually. And as I mentioned before, what a great venue this is to be able to do that. And I thank you so much.
Okay. All right. Well, let me know when you air your show, and I'll be one of your listeners. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you so much.
Amen.
Bye-bye for now.
God bless you. Bye-bye. Amen. What a blessing. What a blessing, amen, to have people calling, you know, even in the middle of what is going on in so many places, it's good to have brothers and sisters be able to come together from all over and encourage each other. Amen. We're going to take another call as soon as my switchboard comes back to life. I'll bind up this demon of technology, amen, off of my switchboard, amen, and declare, decree that we will go forth. So just stay with me, amen. I thank God for our brother, Jay Christie, calling in from Ontario, Canada. Area code 513, I don't know, it looks like you dropped off. Oh, here he is, area code 5. Area code 501. Area code 501. And then I see you. The devil just wanted to mess with my switchboard on today. Roz, God bless you. You're on the air. And then area code 501. God bless you.
Good afternoon. How you doing, madam?
Good. Cliff, just stay with me. Minister Cliff, stay with me. God bless you, Sister Roz. I have put you on the air. I see your hand is raised also. Now my switchboard took you back off the air. So we're just going to flow. You know, when you're on the air and you're encouraging people during a time like this in the things of the Lord, you can expect all kinds of technical difficulties, but we're going to continue to move forward. God bless you, Sister Raj. How are you today?
I'm doing well in yourself, and always a pleasure, and always fantastic topics that you talk about. And I feel the Lord moving every time you're on. I just want to say God bless you and your family.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, too. And thank you so much for being one of our listeners on a regular basis. And not just a listener, but a participant. Because, you know, even if you don't say anything, you're still participating, because the Bible says we're two or more gathered. And you're one of the two or more. And we just thank God for the power. There's a corporate anointing that is released when we come together on one accord. And that's what we need to do. You know, especially with the news and everything that's going on in the nation, it's good to be able to reach out to those that we love and just say, I'm here and I love you and I appreciate you. So it's good to have you, and I love you, Roz, and I appreciate you. Thank God for you being here. When I see your number up there, it encourages me to keep on doing what I'm doing.
Yes, it does, and it encourages me as well. I'm going to put something in the mail to you, so happy holidays.
Amen, amen. Merry Christmas to you, too, and I thank God for what you're putting in the mail. I don't know what it is. thank you in advance. Thank you in advance. You know, the funny thing is, I've been getting a lot of packages in the mail this all last month, and then this month I have been getting packages in the mail. I've gotten like four or five pairs of boots. Can you believe that? I mean, and they fit perfectly, and they're nice. I have waterproof boots. I got those yesterday. And then I got some stylish little jean boots. Then I got a pair of knee-high boots, and then I have some UGG boots, and I'm like, well, you know, every boot that I can, and then I got some nice cushy slippers, and I'm like, wow.
Oh, nice.
You know, God is speaking. You know, there's a scripture that says, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel. And I'm like, God, thank you for taking care of my feet, because my feet don't fail me now, right?
That's right. That's right. You need those feet for sure. Yes. Praise God. Well, you're a blessing to us, Pastor Rebecca. You really are. And I send the number out to as many people as I can, and hopefully they'll be on us, because I know when I can, I am on, because it's like we need that extra closeness and strength that we give one another when we pray together in fellowship, and I love it.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much, and you're a blessing to me as well. Well, Roz, before I let you go, what are your thoughts? Do you have any thoughts or words to yesterday's shooting, or any thoughts or words pertaining to you know, anything that's going on in the world, or any encouragement that you might want to send out?
For sure. That's especially for the people with this tragedy, the children. You know, we have to save our children. We really do. And it's a shame that mental illness is taking over. We need more God in our life. That's what it, you know, when they took prayer out of the schools, our children were lost. You know, you need structure, and they have no structure. It's anything goes, and that is not the way of the world. I mean, the way of the, that is the way of the world, but we're of the world, we're not in the world. And it's, and we have to realize that, and these children are just out of control, and we need to, as adults, be more responsible and get them in line, and, you know, and it's like we're afraid of them for fear of what they may do. They should be, it's turned around. They should be afraid of the consequences that they have to deal with if they do something wrong, and they don't think about that.
That's good. That's good. I was having a little talk with my daughter about the birds and the bees. And Cliff, Minister Cliff, we're going to be, you're right, your line is still open. We're gonna, I'm going to put you on in 1 minute. I was having a little talk with my daughter about the birds and the bees, and I was telling her about, you know, different diseases that you can get, pregnancy, different repercussions of having sex outside of marriage. I talked to her about soul ties and spiritual exchange that takes place. And I was talking to her about, you know, I asked her, I said, you're going to marry a man, right? And, you know, she laughed. She's like, yeah, Mom, I want a man. I said, well, this day and time, you have to ask. And she's 14 years old. And she's like, yes, I'm going to marry a man. And then she went on to tell me that her plan, she said, my plan is to stay a virgin until the night of my honeymoon.
Oh, and wonderful.
Yes. So then we pulled up into my driveway after this 15-minute talk conversation, and I said to her, well, do these conversations help? And she said, yeah, even though I already know all this stuff anyway. And I said, well, excuse me. I said, excuse me, because my mother didn't talk to me about this. She just told me, don't bring home no babies. Don't come home pregnant. And my daughter said to me, this is what I wanted to say. She said to me, well, that would have been enough for me, just the fear of having to come home pregnant. She said, that's enough for me. And I thank God that there are still children out here who have a fear of mommy and a fear of daddy, you know, a fear of the consequences that we're not going to do this because mommy's going to kill me or daddy's going to hurt me. We need to get that back. That our children have a fear of the consequences.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So that's so powerful that you said that. And also prayer in school. They took prayer out of school, and that's why we have to pray in our homes more so now, because there is no prayer. You can't pray in school anymore. So we have to make sure that we're teaching our children about God, like I was saying earlier, and teaching our children about prayer.
That's for sure. That's for sure. Well, we just have to be ambassadors and continue to do, as long as we're on this earth, God's will for us to do. You know, follow, let us follow his footsteps. You know, like footsteps in the sand, you know, or we just have to copy that and keep the youth in prayer constantly, because they're under attack just as we are.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Because they don't know how to fight for themselves, especially when they're very young. So we have to make sure that we're covering not just our children, but the children. I believe this is a time when we have to cover the children of the nation, the nations, with prayer, all of the little children of the world, that we need to add that into our prayer requests. So I was going to ask you, what can we do to counter some of the violence and the evil in this world? What do you think is a solution?
It's kind of difficult to say, because the youth feel like they know it all and there's nothing you can say and they really don't want to listen. I guess we just have to be diligent and be examples of what they should be or what they can expect to be as being productive human beings and godly people. We just have to continue to show them that God is within us and walk that path. Other than that, they by example. You know,
yeah.
'Cause they don't want to listen to you, you know, talk. But if they see it, you know, and actual see it, maybe that'll spark a light bulb.
That's good. That's good because our lives are the only Bibles that some of our young people are going to read.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And just like if they look at our lives and we're hypocritical, not just our young people, but people out there that need to be saved. If they look at our lives and we're not bearing any fruit and we're not looking any different than they are, then what they'll say is, why should I be saved? Why your God does not look
yeah.
like he's able. He's not even
yeah.
able to change your life. So why should
yeah.
I sacrifice all this fun that I'm having to come over
mm-hmm.
and be a religious fanatic like you? And it doesn't look like it's making a difference in your life.
Yeah.
So we have
yeah.
to let our light shine. We have to let people see that Jesus does make a difference.
Yes,
he
and
does.
It's working for us. Yeah, and it's working
right.
for us. Because
yes.
we have peace. We have love. We have fellowship, you know, you can see the beauty. You can like when we met, we met, that was a connection there, you know, and it was and right away, you know, so
yes.
Yeah, that's important too.
Yeah, we met in the post office right there on
yes.
Pearl Street. I'll never
yes.
forget. And that's what
yep.
we need to do. We need to be meeting people. Listen, we need to be meeting people again, meeting people in the supermarket, meeting people in the parking lot, meeting people in the post office, and talking to people and
yes.
blessing people. I met a
greeting.
Young man in the
yes.
supermarket. He was ringing me up in Pathmark, and he started talking to me, and I talked to him, and we laughed, and we joked, and we held up the line, and he's a senior in high school, and I asked him what he wanted to be. I asked him how his grades. I asked him, you know, why he works. And he was sharing with me everything. And in the end, he said, I was preaching. So he said, amen. And I said, that's right. And keep God first, I told the young man. Keep God first. And I said, let me touch you. Let me shake your hand. I want to anoint you. And I shook his hand. And I said, God bless you. And we have to do that, too, with our young people. Pour into our young people. Ross, we could keep on going and going, but I got to take another call. God bless
yes.
you. I love you.
God bless you. I love you, too. You're in my prayers always, okay?
Amen. Yes, and you're in
Amen.
My prayers as well. God bless you. Amen.
God bless
and
you.
That was Ross calling my friend, amen, that I met in the post office. She is a beautiful woman, and we clicked. When we met, God bless you, Minister Cliff. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast today.
Hello.
Yes. God bless you.
How you doing?
I'm doing really well. Blessed and highly favored. Little perturbed by everything that's going on, and just trying to find some solutions to this whole mess. And we know that Jesus is the answer.
Yes, ma'am. My answer to my last yesterday is, you know, like I said, I mean, I haven't said it all, but I was thinking only about myself, you know, last weekend. I was very upset about how he died, you know, because I lost 5 people in my family, my natural death. And
yeah.
I heard my husband was shot at the 24 loop. And I was kicked off at the shooter, the people who owned the place where he got shot at. I was highly upset. God said, you need to forgive these people. I said, well, you know, I had a butt guy, he couldn't be, but you know what? But, you know, he shouldn't have had a gun. You know, he shouldn't have, he didn't thought about looking at anybody else. But, you know, whether or not he did on purpose or by accident, we got to forgive him. Because God said, don't forgive those people that you. I cannot forgive him. But should I have done it my life against God? I want to give. I would love to give. You know, because he got to for something I done. Or my professional act or whatever. So, when at the surface, there was a lot of, you know, actually was more rejoicing than there was more.
Yeah.
And it got me because Jerome was kind of a brother who gave his shirt off his back to his anybody.
Yes.
He didn't have a hand. If he did, they'd come out and say, well, I'm his enemy. But he was well loved. I'm not going to say he's my kinfolk, but because of the life he led, you know. So, and being an underground rap artist, I never knew that. And the thing is, boy, got skill. He could flow. So,
yes.
But however it went down, whatever went down, and whoever y'all was looking for at that spot, I sat there to be fair for him and his family too, because he's behind bars now. And I'm hoping and praying that he can get his salvation behind bars. I don't know what kind of time he got, but maybe a few years. I don't know what's going on, but I know that justice needs to be served. You know, not by our justice, but by God's justice. So I have to forgive him. Not by lip service, but in my heart. Because, you know, I was like, in my blood, he's like my first cousin. I miss him. I'm a miss his smile, his laugh. But he doesn't need to be the best, but he's the spirit.
Yeah. And that's just so important. That's so powerful what you just said. And, you know, and you're calling from Arkansas. That the connection is kind of shaky, but I heard what you said. You were talking about your cousin who went home to be with the Lord. When you called us last week, you were on your way to his homegoing service. And, you know, what you said was so important, that you talked about forgiveness, and I'm glad you said that word. And forgiveness is so important for the nation during this time. There are a lot of angry people right now that are angry because of what went down on yesterday. And they're angry at this young man who shot not only a room full of two classes of kids, but his own mother. So this man has so much anger. Can you imagine how much anger he had to have in his heart to shoot his own mother? So this man has so much anger in his heart that anger was played out on the lives of so many innocent people. And then another thing is, they say he had mental illness, that he was mentally ill. And that's another thing. That's nothing but a demon. That mental illness is the devil running rampant in somebody's mind. So we have to pray for those who are discouraged and pray for those. But let me tell you, unforgiveness will make you sick in the head. Unforgiveness will mess you up.
I've been there before.
Yes.
Make you physically
ill. Yeah, so you know what it feels like to have so much anger that it makes you sick.
I had to give a lot of it just this year alone. He took my stuff off. I took him off the kids. I told my wife I hated his guts one day. Like, I said, don't you shouldn't say that. I said, well, you knew what you did. Where were you at? He said, I was right there. But I allowed it to happen because you be the man at your state education. But when you have kids, you know how not to act.
Yes.
When you get married, you know how not to treat your wife. So, yeah, I learned a lesson. I didn't see it at that time, but now I'm grown, 41 years old. I'm not supposed to be here. You know?
Yes.
I think God's with grace. So.
Amen. And that's another thing. Be grateful during this time. We have to forgive, and we have to be grateful just to thank God that he brought us through what he has brought us through. Let's not get mad at what we have to go through, but thank God that he brought us through. Stay with me, Brother Minister Cliff. Stay with me. Pastor Emily, God bless you, honey.
God bless you. Amen. I didn't hear clearly what the minister was sharing, but your response, I can kind of get an idea of what he was talking about as far as forgiveness and also, you know, the spirit of anger, which is plaguing so many, especially our young people. They're growing up in a day where there's so much confusion, so much unstableness in the home, and everything starts at home. Whether they're going to act out in school, this man obviously has some issues at home. And there's a certain spirit, as you said, Pastor, with so much in the area of mental illness and so much as far as anger, our culture, our society really needs a supernatural intervention from God himself.
Yeah, and I love the fact that Minister Cliff called us back. Minister Cliff, I can't keep you on the air because your connection is not that clear and the listeners can't hear you. But I would love to just hear, before I let you go, I would love to hear, what do you think we can do as believers? How can we help this nation?
Is that me or somebody else?
You, Minister Cliff. Before I take another caller, I just want your input. How can we help this nation?
You know, it's going to sound cliche, but it's the truth. We just got to keep God first. Because there's no other solution but him. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He didn't say a life, but the life. So if we keep him first, there's no other solution but that. You know, so that's my only input about it. You know, people may disagree, which is all right with him, with me, but that's what my Bible told me. I'm going by what the Word says, and that's what I'm sticking to it.
Amen. That's right. Keep God first. And I love that. And I pray that we are taking everything that the callers are saying. Minister Cliff said, keep God first. Jay Christie was with us, and he gave us a whole bunch of good information about, you know, knowing God, knowing his word, growing in our relationship with him. Sister Roz was with us, and she talked about training up the kids. And being that light and letting our lives exemplify kingdom, what it really means to be a believer, that we can begin to continue to touch lives. God bless you, Minister Cliff. I'm going to take another call, but stay with us, okay?
Okay. If I hang up, I'm going to go to the top. I'll call you back.
Yes. I'm going to get you some information, and I'll call you back and give you that information.
Okay. I forgot about that. Okay. Thank you very much.
Amen. You're welcome. God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. I tell you, we're getting calls from around the United States and even Canada. And Pastor Anthony, we were talking. We have another caller, area code 908. I see two more callers, and we're going to take you after we take some comments from Pastor Anthony. Honey, I don't know. I was talking earlier. I did pray. I opened with prayer. And just exhorted people to, you know, have their children know the Lord, and also for us to make sure we have a relationship with God. Just before we take this next call, I want to give you some room just to make a couple of comments or remarks about what we can do as a nation to make a difference, or what we can do as a people to make a difference in the nation.
Yeah, Pastor, whether it's in your personal life or corporately, whether church or, you know, your corporate workplace, from experiences like this, people will put up safeguards. New laws will be put. New bills will be put forth, and new litigation will be put forth as far as gun laws and things. When something tragic happens like this, even law enforcement learns from incidents like this. But it still comes down to choice, Pastor. It's hard, even though the gun laws may change with this man having automatic weapons to do such devastation. It's hard to lay down guns which represent power. God is power. And when you lay down your guns and pick up God, you really have a power that is just so awesome.
Mm.
But it takes prayer and a supernatural intervention, of course, in the life of that person, to believe in the invisible, to believe in the spirit. Another thing, you know, even with the DUIs and DWIs, driving while intoxicated, regardless of how many accidents and deaths are occurred by drunk driving, it's still hard for people to put down the alcohol. And we know alcohol represents a feeling, a spirit, a jubilee of fun, an entertainment, a subconsciousness that can only come from being intoxicated. Again, God can fulfill that void if people give him the opportunity. Those of us who allow God to bring us joy, those of us who allow God to bring us pleasure, those of us who allow God to bring us fulfillment realize, especially those of us who indulge in drugs and alcohol, there's no comparison. When God fulfills you, there's nothing like it. And people got to make that decision. Things like this, I think, leans us in that direction, but it's still going to take something outside of ourselves to make us make those hard choices for God.
Yeah, I agree with that. You know, and it's a time. Listen, you know, I was saying earlier, and I keep saying listen because I feel like I'm crying loud and sparing not, but it's a time when we have to get so serious about our walk with the Lord and our relationship with the Lord. And we do this week by week by week, and we encourage and exhort people to just be in relationship with God and be in right relationship with God, not just for you, but for others in the world. If all of us do our part and we can be contagious, we need to be contagious Christians, you know, where we are just like touching hearts and changing lives and discipling people all over the world. You know, we come to church sometimes and we don't have, you know, sometimes people don't even want to be bothered bringing people to church or even going to church. And I want to encourage everybody to go to church on Sundays. You know, don't let the devil keep you out of fellowship. And also, not just for you, but bring somebody to church with you, because you don't know how you are touching the next life, and you don't know how that life is going to touch other lives. You might be bringing the next Billy Graham to church. You might be bringing the next Bishop T.D. Jakes to church. You know, somebody who's going to impact the lives of thousands and hundreds of thousands of people. And you might be bringing the next Mother Teresa to church. You know, as you touch a life and allow yourself to put that person under the word, then you are playing a very important part in the kingdom. It's just by bringing people to church. And but you can't invite somebody to church in one breath and curse somebody out in the next. That's why we talk about this stuff. But I believe that it's a time for prayer, praise, evangelism, discipleship, service, and giving. And it starts with your local church. It's a time to be very involved with the church. I don't know. Pastor Emily, does that make sense to you?
That makes a lot of sense. Even in our, I mean, as far as you and I are concerned, our immediate family, they look upon our lives, a visible witness of the goodness of God. Because, again, we came right from the world into the church. And you're challenging the people today, Pastor, and it's so powerful because God wants to raise up that young voice that can change his or her generation. God wants to bring somebody into the church that could speak to the anger, speak to the unforgiveness, speak to the spirit of our young people. But yet, if what you're saying is if we don't do our part, that person that God wants to raise up who can relate to this generation, then we're going to miss God's divine plan to turn and combat this evil in our day.
Yeah.
That's what you're saying. When somebody see you taking your walk seriously, then they want what you're offering.
Yeah.
But if you're drugging, packing a pistol like everybody else, why should they want what you have and you're just like the world? You're just like problems that we're trying to change. So we Christians, we as believers, we got to do better.
Amen, Pastor. Amen. Well, on that note, let us take a couple more calls. We have two more callers with their hands raised. Area code 90837, you're on the air. God bless you and welcome to the broadcast.
Hi, this is Elaine.
Elaine?
I agree. Yes, I agree with your, I think there were 5 points that you made with prayer, evangelism, and service. But I wanted to, on what I was thinking on the prayer part, that is so crucial. And we say about they've taken prayer out of the schools, but we haven't put it back into the home.
Mm.
And I think we need to put it back in the home, but also know how to pray properly so that like our words have power. And I remember reading years ago the book by Watchman Nee, The Latent Power of the Soul. And your words have power, whether they're negative or positive. So how you pray, you know, that makes a difference. So if we're taught how to properly pray and not be praying negative words over some, because I'm particular about who prays over me, because sometimes people will pray, well, you know, if they just would just stay out of the street so that, you know, they won't get hit by a car and run over a bus and all this, and you're like, whoa, whoa, whoa. You know, we don't want to pray that negativity over anybody. We want to pray the good, you know, speak the words of God over them. But I think if we bring the prayer back in and pray in the right way, that is one of the key points.
Yes, definitely. Pray God's, you know, and to be safe, pray God's word. Pray, yes, that's so powerful what you just said, Elaine, that we pray God's word. We pray positivity and not negativity. And, that, you know, unless somebody comes to you saying I'm having trouble with my marriage, you don't pray, well, Lord, don't let them end up in divorce court. Like, you're right. You know, don't start praying stuff on me that I'm not even walking in. And don't pray.
Right.
Catastrophe, because our words do have power, and we have to begin to bless through the word of God, to bless those that we pray for, and to bind up the hand of the devil, to bind up the hand of the Satan off of the lives of the people that he's trying to come against. So prayer is something that we have to, because we said it earlier with Roz calling in, that we can't, no, they have, yes, they have taken prayer out of the schools, but that does not mean that we cannot pray or should not pray for our children in our homes. That does not mean we should not pray in our homes for our communities or for the schools that are in our communities. That's good. We can adopt a school. You know, everybody has a school in their neighborhood, and that's something that we could do. Thank you, Elaine. That's something we could do. We can adopt a school. Everybody adopt a school in your neighborhood. And when you pray, pray for that school and pray for every child and every staff member in that school.
Yeah, I like that. Yes.
Where are you calling from,
Elaine? What is that?
Where are you calling from?
New Jersey.
Okay, great. So prayer, so do you believe, so as far as what we can do you believe, are you saying that you believe that prayer is the thing that we should be doing more of? Or what do you believe that we can do to make a difference in this nation? How can we combat the evil?
I think God's words is, he said, you know, if my people will humble themselves and seek my face, you know, he's given us the answer there. We just have to do it.
Yeah, we have to do it. And the more that we pray, the more effective it will be. And when we line our prayers up with the word of God, and we also pray in the spirit, Ephesians chapter 6 tells us that we're not warring against flesh and blood. We cannot fight this in the natural, because this is not a natural war. This is a supernatural war. This is a spiritual thing. And we have to take on the full armor of God. God says, put on the full armor of God, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the belt of truth, the shield of faith, sandals, our feet shared with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Pick up the sword, which is the word of God, and praying always in the spirit. So that's another thing that we have to make sure that we're doing, that we are not just praying in our natural words, but also praying in the spirit. And because that edifies us and equips us to continue to go forth with this spiritual battle. So,
right.
Yeah, I agree with you, Elaine. Anything else that you have for the listeners on today, or any other comments or remarks?
No, that was just it. Just thank you so much.
Well, thank you, and God bless you. And I thank you so much, my sister, for calling in with the love of God and sharing with us on today and letting your voice be heard here on the broadcast. Thank you so much for listening, and thank you for calling in.
God bless.
Amen. Wow. I mean, what a blessing to have people calling in and just sharing solutions, because we know what the problem is, that the devil is busy. And what we need to just tap into the solutions and not just let's go down from this place and do it. Amen. I want to take, we're going to pass, Anthony, you have anything before we take this next caller?
Yeah, I hope we heard what she said. We have the answers.
Wow.
We have Second Chronicles. She said, humble yourself, seek my face, turn, then I'll heal your land. Bible says, confess faults one to another. Pray for one another. You'll be healed. Bible says, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life.
Wow.
People come to the God no way but by him. She said, we have the answers. And that's what you're saying, Pastor. We're looking for answers, but the problem is we don't like the answer. We don't like the solution. And God is saying that that's the only way.
Well, I do.
That's the only way I'm going to turn your world around.
Yeah, you're right. We have to. That, you just said something so powerful, Pastor Emily, that a lot of people are looking for answers, but when we give them the answers, that's not the answer that they want. So sometimes people will reject that. And that's what God told. I'm trying to think. I was just reading it, I believe, in the book of. When they asked, they came to Samuel, and they said, Samuel, you're old, and your sons are not living right, so we want a king. We want a king like everybody else has a king. And God told Samuel, don't worry about it. It's not you that they're rejecting. There is me. They're rejecting me. So when we reject the solutions that God has given us, when we reject prayer and when we reject God's way, we're not rejecting the preacher, we're not rejecting the messenger, but we're rejecting the Lord. And that's what, I just got to say this. I have to say this, and I prayed it in my prayer. I repented for America and the Christians in America for embracing abortion, the right to choose. I repented for embracing same-sex marriage and endorsing it. And that's what we have to do, people of God. We have to repent because we have, we've embraced a lot of things that are contrary to God's word. We have to repent. You know, the Bible tells us to hate what God hates. And the very sin that he hates, we have embraced, not verbally, but maybe by not saying anything. So, yes, we are to love everybody. God loves everybody. He loves the sinner and the saint alike. And there's nothing we can do to stop God from loving us. But by the same token, God requires holiness from us. And I just believe that even in the church that so many have gotten away from the true, pure, unadulterated word of God, and we have allowed ourselves to become very tolerant as the people of God, as the royal priesthood. And God is dealing with us. If nobody else hears, because he's not, passing judgment on the world, that day has not come yet. But the saints, the people of God, we need to pay attention and we need to take a stand. The whole earth is groaning, waiting for the revelation of the sons and daughters of God. We're the real sons and daughters of God. Please stand up. And that's all God is saying, that he wants us to stand up and be counted in love. No, don't go beating people over the head with the Bible. but in love, take a stand for righteousness.
And Pastor, what you're saying is so powerful. Our young people are not what they were, but they are so screaming out for help.
Yeah.
You know, they don't want to go to school and be afraid. They don't want to watch television and see somebody younger than them having funeral arrangements made. You know, they don't want to be in a house where there's fighting every day. They're screaming out for help. And it's up to those of us who are older, those of us who have been through something, to not just get on our knees and pray, but to come alongside. Just like you spoke to the guy in the supermarket, I spoke to a guy in the elevator, and he was so happy I asked him about his day at school. You know, and that's what we got to do. We got to care. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And our young people, that's what you're saying. We're not beating a dead horse saying, come to church. Live and walk in love. Because the Bible says without love, we ain't nothing but a tingling cymbal. We got to love not just through words, but Pastor, through our actions. And I'm glad you're coming up with solutions. We're not here just talking, bouncing ideas around. You are coming up with some practical, real, what we can do right now solutions.
Amen. And we're doing that together, and I just thank God for it. I thank God for Patriarch Greg in the chat room and also for guest 3465. God bless you. God bless you, Faith Works. We see you in the chat room. Faith Works is in the chat room, and Faith Works says God hates adultery. Divorce in the Christian community is higher than the secular world. Too many divorce using marriage as a disposable commodity. And SafeWorks is giving us the scripture, James 1:27, pure religion and undefiled before our God and Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained by the world. Wow, that's a good scripture, James 1:27. Thank you so much, Faith Works. God bless you, and thank you for letting your voice be heard today. Pastor, we're going to take another call in this last 30 minutes, and then we'll dialogue some more. Minister Valerie Allen, God bless you. God bless you, Minister Valerie Allen. You're on the air. God bless you.
God bless you, Mother. Praise ye the Lord. Glory be to God. This is an awesome broadcast on today. God bless you, Mother. My goodness, I've just been listening. We're still down the road waiting for our table right now. We're in the Dutch County right now. Praise ye the Lord. But I just had to let you know I'm still supporting you on today. I'm telling you, God is so awesome. If it had not been for the Lord on our side, Lord Jesus, where would we be? I tell you, there's so many things that, you know, triggering inside me. I'm just speechless. I've never been so lost for words as I am during a time such as this. All the words that have gone forth, you know, so far doing this broadcast ministry has been so on point and so target that I can't even speak on everyone else's perspective. But if I may have a minute to just share from a parental perspective, from a mother of a special needs child that has been diagnosed and classified with autism. I tell you, what a battle, what a challenge, what a fight. And I just want to keep on praying over my child until God deliver him, because I still can understand, you know, with regard to mental illness, how the children can get, you know, so angry and, you know, bursting out. And I certainly do understand, and that's why I'm asking God to have mercy on everyone with regard to that young man, because I understand, giving no excuses, because evil is evil. And we know that this is a demon. And that's why parents have to be careful. All the things that you were saying today, train your child up in the way they should go. I thank God that God saved me first prior to having my child, because if I didn't know the Lord, I wouldn't know how to bring him up in the fear and admiration of God and trusting God for supernatural and divine healing and deliverance from such a disease and from a learning disability, what they title autistic, PDD, pervasive development disorder, and also attention deficit. Only God. And I know that it takes prayer. I know that it takes passion, because that's what Jesus said to the disciples when the disciples came to him when they couldn't cast out a demon. And they said, why? We can't cast this out. And demon said, we know the scripture Jesus was saying to them that this kind comes by what? This kind, this type, this demon can only come out by fasting and prayer. So I thank God for the power of God through fasting and praying, knowing that God is able, because this incident, this tragedy, this devastation have shaken me to the very core of my soul with regard to understanding a child that's been, you know, autistic, you know, able to do that. Because I live with this every day with, you know, with my child, when he gets angry. But every time when he gets angry, I still want to bind up the devil from him, you know, no matter what. So I'm just praying that God will have mercy on those who are angry, and especially angry at the perpetrator. You know, he did take his life. My thought, of course, of any time when suicide comes, just take yourself out. Why do you got to take everybody else out? It is senseless. If you want to kill yourself, thou should not kill the fire. Kill yourself, but you ain't got to wipe the whole nation out because you know you angry, allowing the devil to use you. That is my thought in that respect. But also, too, taking into account 2 Chronicles 2, 7 and 14, as we know, I can't say that enough. As Pastor Anthony was just also encouraging us with, and Mother, as you were saying earlier in the broadcast, if we believers of God, if we could just only do what the Bible says, if we can just humble ourselves, if we would just seek God, if we would just pray, and if we would just, you know, turn from our wicked ways, turn from our sin, God will heal our land. I truly believe that. I hear another pastor crying out and saying, well, okay, that's good. We're mourning for children in Connecticut, but what about our own hometown? I can somewhat concur and agree with that, too. What about the state of Washington, D.C.? What about the state of New York City? What about the state of Jersey, New Jersey, where we reside? I said, I can agree with that. So what we're saying is we have to continue to pray. We know we're looking for solutions, as you're asking for today, Mother, but what other solutions are there? As I said, from a parent of a diagnosed special needs child with a disease of autistic, what else can you do? What else can you do when you feel powerless and you feel loss of control and you can see your child in front of you losing control and you have no control? What do you do? What solutions do you have? The only solution I can offer, like everyone else, is to pray. And all the additional things that people have been offered, such as Minister Patricia Martin Peters, you know, who've been talking about signing petitions to get prayer back in the school, such as the other sister that came on today mentioned about, you know, adopting a school and, you know, praying for that school and things of that nature. There's many things we can do. But my thing is, if you don't have a child yourself, that is special needs or such as this and autistic, you just wouldn't have a clue. I'm saying don't be so quick to point the fingers, but yes, let's pray, because I definitely daily am saturating my child in prayer and trusting God that he's not going to be this child that grows up with anger to take out his mother and then anyone else, because I tell you, I can see how it can happen. I deal with it every single day. But if it wasn't for the blood, I'm telling you, the shock and scare you have to death sometimes, because he has no fear. He has no sense of right and wrong, and the sense of right and wrong as we know it is when he gets in the spirit of rage and anger, it overtakes him. I've seen it. I witnessed it. But I thank God again for the blood of Jesus, for the power of prayer, and that God is able. He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask and think, according to the power of Jesus Christ that worketh in us, that worketh in me. So I am encouraged for the broadcast on today. Thank God for the ministry that you have, Mother, for the online ministry, the on-site ministry. I tell you, God is doing a great work, and I'm just as vexed in my spirit as you are today, but more so I'm angry, and I'm more angry at ourselves as believers that we just don't do what the Bible says. We just don't do what the Bible says. If we just only do what the Word of God says, God will heal our land. So my number is up. We're going to go in now, sit down, have a bite, and enjoy the Jonah show, you know, performance on this evening. Glory be to God, and let the Lord just minister to my heart even the more. Because what I don't want is to have a spirit like Jonah. I want to be able to preach and teach the gospel of Jesus Christ instant, in season, and out, wherever the Lord calls me. Because that's where it starts. Pastor Anthony mentioned that today about starting in the home. It does. It starts with us. It starts with me. It starts with the parent. God gave me the authority and the commission to train my child up in the way he should go. He gave it to me, so I'm held just as responsible. And then it begs the question, what was the mother doing with guns in the house when you have a mental ill child as it is? So what I'm saying is there are things that we can also put in our children's way, you know, in harm's way. But that's another story. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. Well, Mother, listen, God bless you. My heart is filled. I'm yet still speechless and lost for words, and I know to pray. This is why our organization, Here We Are, the worship group, does a prayer at midnight and do the fasting on Wednesdays. I'm telling you, only God. Only God, only God, only God, only God. God bless you, Mother. God bless you, Pastor Anthony. God bless you, all listeners. To God be the glory for the great things He has done, and let's continue to seek ye the Lord. Seek ye the kingdom of God first and all His righteousness, and all the things we ask in His name shall be added and given unto us in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Love you much, money. See you in the sanctuary. God bless you.
God bless you. Enjoy the show. God bless you. Remember to join the Lord. Keep your garment of praise on. And remember, as we mourn with those who mourn, keep on your garment of praise. And remember that the joy of the Lord is your strength. Amen.
Amen,
the prayer,
Father. Praise the Lord.
The prayers of the righteous avail of much. They're powerful and effective. So God has already done it. Keep praying. Keep believing. God bless you. I'll see you in the sanctuary. Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, Mother. All right.
Bye-bye. God bless you. Amen. Wow. Well, that's from the heart of a mother. And like you said, she has a child who has been diagnosed with autism. We declare him healed and whole and set free in the name of Jesus. And believe God, our son Marcus had seizures when he was young, from a baby until he was like 7 or 8 years old. He was on medication, Tegretol. They diagnosed him with ADHD, PDD, everything that she was talking about. But yet, God, all I can say is God is able. If we keep believing God, He can change every diagnosis. He can change every prognosis. Amen. Keep believing God. Replace fear with faith. Amen. And just no matter what it looks like, keep believing God. Proverbs 3, and I see you, caller. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 7 tells us what? Not to lean to our own understanding, but in all our ways to acknowledge God, and He will direct our paths. We have to continue to acknowledge God. And when we acknowledge God, what we're saying is that, God, I know you're here. I know that you are provident over this situation. I know that you are in control. I know that you are able, and I know that you are willing. God, I believe that you can change this situation. Acknowledge God in everything that's going on in your life, and believe me, continue to draw near to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee. Amen. Hallelujah. Pastor Emily, we're going to take another call. I don't know if you had anything to say before we take this next caller.
No, I want to move on and hear what this next caller has to say, but Minister Valerie Allen, I thank God for her. She brought a wonderful perspective to the whole conversation today. Having a special needs child, and who knows what went on in this home or under that roof. But she pointed out some wonderful insights that those of us who don't deal with such a situation should take into consideration. And I just want to encourage everyone, if you are a person that prays, trust me, your prayers are making a difference.
Yes. Wow. Wow, your prayers are making a difference. And things will sometimes get worse before they get better. So keep praying.
We can't assume that everybody's not praying. So some people are praying, and because they are praying, trust me, you're keeping everything from getting a lot worse.
Yeah, and I said sometimes it will get worse before it gets better. It will seem like it's getting worse, but it's already gotten better because guess what? God's already worked it out. He's in the middle of things, working things out. Romans 8:28 says, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him and are called according to His purpose. God has already stepped into the middle of your situation. As a matter of fact, He's already stepped into your tomorrow. He knows the ending from the beginning. So when it comes to us personally, we don't have anything to worry about. What we're here today is to encourage you in your walk and also to find solutions for those who are still lost and those who are still searching and those who are still hurting and those who, somebody said, what about our kids? We're praying for the kids, the people over there in Connecticut. Well, nobody didn't come into my neighborhood and shoot up folk. You know, so what we're doing today is we're mourning with those who are mourning. Let's not be, while we're being spiritual, let's not be insensitive to what's going on right in the middle of Newtown, Connecticut. Those mothers are hurting right now. Those fathers are hurting. They never thought something like this could happen in the middle of their town. So while we're, you know, looking at solutions and being spiritual, let's not be insensitive to the fact that there are at least 28 families right now that are really, really, really hurting today. And while we're praying, let's pray for God to comfort them and to keep them during this time. And then let's cover our neighborhoods and those in Africa and Israel. Amen. Let's take this caller. Amen. Hallelujah. Erico 973. God bless you, daughter, Sister Tina Lane. God bless you. Welcome to the broadcast today.
Hi. God bless you, Pastor Rebecca and Pastor Anthony. It was a pleasure to be listening to the show today. Hold on one second because I'm out. And I'm like, make sure you can hear the background of the cars going by. I just had to call in because yesterday I was really, really touched by what I saw in the news and what occurred. And it was just amazing that someone, you know, amazing, like something like that would happen, not just to adults and to children. And I have a friend of mine who actually knew a family who lost their child, and he shared their experience of them going to the school, the mother and the father, and then finding out that their daughter was one of the children that were killed. It's like no words can express to that family. But, you know, the blessing about what that family said to him, and he shared it, the family said that we understand what happened to our daughter, and our daughter, we taught our daughter to know the Lord. And we can rejoice right now because our child knows the Lord and we know where she is.
Yeah.
And for them to make a statement like that and to share with others, to their loved ones and friends, it was like, wow, they have a relationship with God, and they taught their child a relationship with the Lord. And so it made me feel a little more at ease with that situation, but overall I couldn't believe what had occurred, and I was just listening to what you guys were talking about, and I just wanted to call in and share that story.
Yes, yes, thank you so much. And that brings comfort and confirmation that, you know, with God, there's always hope. Even in the middle of death, there's always hope with the Lord. And that just, it's just confirmation of his word. He said, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall stand forever. And, you know, he's there. You know, this country has gone through so much. And I just believe that this prayer is pertinent, of the utmost importance. And there's also a great need for more evangelism.
Yes.
Because there's so many people that still don't know the Lord. And that's why Jesus is, I believe he's tarrying, that he's delaying his return. Because the Bible says it's not his desire that anyone should perish. So we need to be out there telling people about the Lord and compelling people by our testimony to get to know Jesus for themselves. Whether you're a preacher, so many people are coveting titles now. Everybody wants a title. But you don't need a title to go forth and evangelize and tell people about the goodness of Jesus and the hope that's to be found in Christ. So I just thank you for sharing that testimony. We needed to hear that there were some people that were saved and that this family is taking comfort in the Comforter. You know, taking comfort in the fact that Jesus, that their child knew the Lord at that young age. Because they were between 5 and 10. So that this child knew the Lord at such a young age. Wow. God bless you. Thank you so much for sharing that.
God bless you. You're welcome.
Amen. Did you have anything else that you wanted to share before you go off the air?
No, well, the last point that you were making, for us, and regardless if you are a minister, don't forget about a title. you should go out and evangelize and just begin to tell people about the goodness of the Lord and minister to them and witness to them. And a lot of times some of us don't do that as disciples, thinking that we need a title. But then when something like this happens, now we want to talk to everyone about God or sit down, talk to our children or relatives or try to explain it when we should be ministering already.
Yeah, you were with me in the supermarket, as a matter of fact, when I was talking to the young guy and we were holding up the line and you were trying to encourage the people behind me. Like, she's encouraging him.
Yeah,
and if we just open ourselves up. Now, I didn't say Jesus to him. I said, God bless you. I wanted to touch you. He said, amen. So I know he knew something about God. But as we develop relationship, when we go back to the path mark, when I go back there, then I'll be able to talk to him again and see where he is with the Lord. We at first, I'm going to just give you a really elementary part of evangelism is relationship. Is relationship. So the first thing you want to do with a person is develop a relationship with them. And then once you have developed a relationship with the person, then you can begin to open up and share with them about your Lord. They might ask you, well, how do you have so much joy? I know you're going through a hard time. Now that's an opening for you to tell them about Jesus. So it's not necessarily the stranger on the street, but it's your next door neighbor or the man on your job or the woman that serves you coffee at the local diner or the guy who rings you up at the Pathmark or the shopper's. Right, or the Stop and Shop. You know, so we see people on a daily basis. It's developing that relationship with them. And then after you've seen them a couple of times or talk to them, then you can begin to open up and say, you know what, we're having something at my church. Why don't you come? So it helps us to go forth and evangelize and always let your light shine. Always smile and be nice and kind and courteous. Because you never know who's watching your walk. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much, Sister Tina, for calling in. I love you. God bless
you. I love
you.
God bless you.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Pastor Anthony, wow, it's been a full 2 hours. We only have 9 more minutes. I want to tell everybody about our church. We're New Creation Christian Ministries. We're at 87 First Street in Elizabeth, New Jersey, and our services are on Sundays at 11 a.m. and on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. On Tuesday nights, right here on Blog Talk Radio, we have prayer, 1 hour of intercessory prayer. You can get through to that by calling 646-652-4832. And then on Wednesday at noon, we do a noonday worship service for 1 hour. From 12 to 1 Eastern Standard Time. And again, you could call the number to be a part of that or come into the chat room. And we're here. Our mission as a ministry is to save souls. Our mission as a ministry is to save souls and change lives by making disciples of Jesus Christ through the Word of God and the power of the Holy Ghost. That's our overall mission. You know, in a nutshell, that's our mission, our short version. And then we have a website. It's nccmonline.org where you can find out more about our ministry. Amen. But we love God. We love the Lord and we love the people of God. And we just encourage you to go to church on Sundays, whether you come to our church or whether you go to your church or wherever you go, just go to church and let the Lord change your life through his word. The Bible tells us in Romans 12 to give our bodies to the Lord as a living sacrifice, which is our reasonable service. And it also, that same scripture, 12:1-2, tells us not to be conformed to the things of this world, but to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. You may not be able to quote scripture word for word, verse for verse, but get that word in you. You notice I paraphrase a lot of scripture. I don't quote it verse for verse because I don't have that kind of memory, but I get that word in me, amen, and then that's all that's going to come out of me, amen. Pastor Anthony, I'm giving it back over to you.
Yeah, it's so powerful, and I'm so glad Sister Tina said that. Even out of the darkest moments, God can bring something good out of it. And it's just amazing, the news report, all the coverage was saying the families in this community won't be the same, just like Columbine. In Columbine High School, that happened so long ago, and they're not the same. But believe it or not, God worked in God worked in mysterious ways. And I pray for people to get to know Jesus through this tragedy. You know my story. And it's just so awesome that God can allow Romans 8:28 to come to life in this tragedy. All things working together for good. So I believe, like you said, we're not taking it lightly. Like you said, I understand the person who's saying our young men are dying right on our own streets. And I understand that mindset. But as you said, Pastor, we got to remain sensitive to those who, this something like this has never hit this country. So we can't be selfish. We got to just look and feel. That's what compassion is all about. Feel the pain of these families that lost these little precious lives. And it just really gives us time to reflect. Tomorrow's not promised to you, beloved. I don't even like to talk like that, but tomorrow's not promised to you. We got to trust God for everything.
Yeah. And right now in this earth, Pastor Emily, it's a matter of life or death. It's a matter of life or death. For you, if you're listening and you're not saved, it really, what it comes down to, is a matter of life or death. Life with God or death without Him. And even in the lives of those for you who are listening, in the lives of people that you see every day and people that you don't even know, it's a matter of life or death. It's a matter of life or death. People are dying out there and going to hell. That's the bottom line. We could be in our cushy churches. You know, we could preach our cute little sermons. You know, and we could disciple each other and support each other and rejoice with each other. But outside of our churches, people are dying and going to hell. And the church is the place, the Bible tells us in Ephesians 4 that Jesus, when he ascended, he gave gifts in the church. He gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, teachers, and pastors, for the edifying of the saints, the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. So you, saint of the Most High God, have a ministry to be doing, and that's the ministry of evangelizing. Sheep begets sheep. You know, the pastor has to do the job once you bring them in to disciple them, but you have to bring people into the kingdom. You have to go out there and let your light so shine so that people will look on your life and glorify our God. What does that mean? They don't look at you and say, oh, you just have such a wonderful life. They look at you and say, what must I do to be saved? And then they come into the house and they glorify God with you. Glorify God, that means they praise God with you. Amen. They praise God for the work that he's doing in their lives. So I just feed with you. Get saved and get busy. And if you're saved, get busy. And if you're busy, get more busier. Amen, because there is a work to do. And pray. Everybody that called in, Sister Elaine, Brother Jay, Minister Valerie Allen, Sister Tina, Sister Ross, everybody that called in said the same thing, Pastor Emily, myself, pray. We have to pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Amen. Yeah, we have to do everything else, believe the word of God, all of that. Again, I'm going to give you what I said before. We have to evangelize. I wrote it down last night because all of it goes together. We can't do one without doing the other. We have to do it all. We have to... And I turned away from the page. I have so many notes in my notebook. But we have to make sure that we are praying. We have to make sure that we continue to praise God. We have to evangelize. We have to make disciples. Not only do we have to make disciples, but we have to be disciples. We have to render our service to the Lord, starting in the house of the Lord. And we have to give to the work of the ministry. Amen. All of those together, I believe, as we do those things, we will begin to effect change in our nation. Amen. God bless you. Pastor Anthony, as we go down from this place, I just want you to know I love you, honey. And I want to say happy birthday to my firstborn daughter, Hakita.
commitment. She turned 35 today. I had her when I was 16 years old. And God has done a marvelous work in my life since then. Amen. One day I'll give my testimony again. But my firstborn daughter today is her birthday. Happy birthday, Hakita. God bless you to all who are listening. Listen, you're on the right track. You're on the right track. You're on the track with Jesus. Be encouraged and know that you're doing a good work for the Lord. Just by being here, I know that you have a heart for the things of God.